Father, we praise you that Jesus did die that day on Calvary's tree, that he shed his blood to pay the price for every sin of every person in this world, and that anyone who would trust in Jesus, who would respond to the call of the Holy Spirit to be saved, would acknowledge their sin and call upon the Lord Jesus to save them, that your Holy Spirit would come in, regenerate them, make them new, give them a new heart, new spirit, and be able to walk with Jesus through the rest of these days and assure us of heaven. It is a free gift from your hand, but we must come your way. We must accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And Father, we praise you for this message, and thank you for all here today who have done that, who have made that decision. The Holy Spirit lives within, and we are here to worship and glorify your name. We pray, Father, for any who might be here today who have not yet made that decision. We praise you for your love for them, for bringing them here today. And we pray that you would speak to their hearts and show them that your Son is the only way of salvation. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to real life and full life now. And we pray that they would open their hearts to him as well, put their faith and trust in Christ. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, what you have inspired, and we praise you that we can hear it preached. Thank you for the faithful ministry of the Word of God here in this place, and we pray that you'll bless Pastor as he brings the message. Fill him with your Spirit and speak through him to each of us. Your Spirit knows each heart here today and knows what our needs are and what if we need encouragement or challenge, whatever is needful for each of us, he knows. And we pray that you would work through the ministry of your word, through the singing as we continue worship, through our time of prayer, through all of this time, in this hour and in the fellowship afterwards. We pray that your Holy Spirit will work in great ways in our hearts and lives. Draw us closer to you, closer to one another, and that we might leave here changed and more inspired to go out and to proclaim your word to those who do not yet know you. Father, it is a joy to be here, and we just pray for your blessing on each soul here today. Commit this hour to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to move back up a little bit just to get the context here. See where we are, beginning in verse 6. Okay. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spoke to the women which gathered thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let these men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart, go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? No, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. It's such a wonderful story, our Father, of how you reached into this town and brought these people to yourself and established this church there in Philippi. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your saving grace. Lord, that all we have to do is put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save us from our sins. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that we have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through anything that we could ever do ourselves, but only through his precious blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. And we thank you and praise you for that. Our Father, we pray today for our church. We just thank you for each and every one who is a part of it, and pray that we might truly love you and serve you and worship you with each one of our lives and as a collective body. May we honor and magnify your name in all that we do. Keep us, our Father, from sin. Keep us from ungodliness. Help us to be faithful. May we be true and honest before you. May we be good witnesses to those all around us, our Father, that need to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, we pray today for our country. We just ask you to help us, our Father, to do your will. We know your word says righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, we need righteousness. We pray that we might be righteous in our lives and that we might help others also to come to know you in a personal way. We pray, our Father, for the situation in Afghanistan. We know that most of the people have been set free from there, the ones that wanted to leave, but there's still quite a number that are there, and we pray for them, our Father, that they might be able to be rescued, that your will would be accomplished through it all, and especially we pray for the church in Afghanistan, that it might endure. We know it's hard, our Father, when the government is anti-Christian, and we just pray that you will undertake and grant that the church may endure. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified through it all. We do pray that you'll continue to help us, that we would be faithful to you and love you and serve you in the way we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What God wants us to do in a particular instance. And here we find Paul, it mentions several different places where he wanted to go, places that he was familiar with, in Asia Minor, and throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, it mentions here. He wanted to go in these various directions. There was I believe it was to the north, the other was to the south, and the Holy Spirit somehow, well, I'm not sure exactly how, but somehow gave him the indication that this was not the direction he should be going. There was something else that he had in mind for him to do. And we saw here, he gave him a special vision to give direction as to where he was to go. And you've probably heard of the Macedonian vision, no doubt. The man from Macedonia appeared to Paul in this dream and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. All right. So he took that as the direction that God wanted him to go. Beginning here in verse 10, and we find that they are determined to go, and then we see that Luke, as we mentioned last week, joined the missionary party and went along with them to go across the Aegean Sea to the land of Greece, Macedonia, this province of Greece where the Holy Spirit had led them to go. Luke, of course, was a doctor. We don't know why he went exactly. Maybe he was there to help Paul with his thorn in the flesh, perhaps. We don't know for sure. But anyway, he joined the party, and they go across to from Troas over to Philippi eventually as they landed there in Macedonia. And we see here then the city of Philippi was about 10 miles inland. So they landed at the seaport, and then they went in to the city of Philippi, and it was located on one of the major thoroughfares there, the Via Ignatia, that where a lot of people would travel back and forth. So Paul chose a strategic place. Sorry about that. Strategic place to begin his ministry there in Philippi, and so this is what they're doing, going in and reaching these people. You remember Paul usually when he went travel from one place to another, his first thing he would do would be to go to the synagogue, right? Where he was already a congregation that he could preach to. But here at Philippi, there was no synagogue. Apparently there were not enough Jewish people to warrant a synagogue. You had to have 10 Jewish men in order to have a synagogue. And so there was no synagogue there. And they did have a place of prayer. It says down by the riverside. You ever heard that song? Down by the riverside, right? Anyway, this is where they had the prayer meeting. And notice here, it says he spoke to the women that resorted there. So here, his first congregation was a group of women who had met together at a Jewish prayer meeting to give them the gospel. And here in verse 14, it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. See, she was originally from Thyatira, which is in Asia Minor. But she had moved across to Philippi, perhaps with her business, and she was selling purple. This was a businesswoman, right? And probably a more affluent person, because she had this business selling purple. This was a very expensive kind of cloth that was sold. And so no doubt this was a lady who perhaps was a little richer than some of the other people there. And it says, notice it says, she listened to what they had to say, whose heart the Lord opened. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord opened her heart to receive what was given. And that's what we need to do. We need to open up our hearts to the Word of God. Allow the Lord to open the door and to listen to what he has to say. So she listened to what Paul was saying and received the word. And God blessed in a very special way. And it says in verse 15, when she was baptized and her household, she besought them to go and to stay at her place and to have the services there at her home. So she's opening up her home already to the church. But notice, the first thing she did when she believed, she was baptized, right? And that, according to the scriptures you read throughout the New Testament, you'll find that this was the way it usually was, right? As soon as a person is saved, they are baptized. Now, the baptism doesn't save anybody, but it is an indication that you have received the message. It's an invitation. It's an indication that you have received Christ as your Savior. You say, I'm willing to commit myself completely to him. And so that's what baptism is all about. We follow him in believer's baptism and commit our lives to him. So this is what Lydia did here. This first one, a wealthy woman coming to know the Lord and her household. And so God is beginning to work here. Then notice the second one that is mentioned here is this. It says in verse 16, a certain damsel, a young woman, young girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. She brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So we see the contrast here. The wealthy woman here receives Jesus. And then we find this poor girl who is demon-possessed and able to tell fortunes, soothsaying, and that kind of thing. She had a spirit of divination. It was a python. It was something to do with snakes. So I wouldn't want to have anything to do with this at all. You know, snakes and I do not agree. And anyway, we find here she had this spirit of the python. And these men were taking advantage of her. She was like a slave. And they were profiting from what she did. And so we'll see what happened. She was following along behind Paul and Silas and maybe Luke, the ones that were in the party there, going to the prayer meetings back and forth. And she's announcing to everyone, right? Hey, this is an advertisement here. What do you think? But Paul didn't take it that way. He knew that it was a mockery. He said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And day after day after day, as often as they went down the road, she would follow along behind them with this, constantly mocking them about this. You know, "Oh yeah, they are the preachers, you know, come hear them. You know, they're preaching about God, and they'll show you the way of salvation." She did that many days. And finally, Paul got tired of it, right? And he turned around and cast the demon out of her. Notice he said here, he said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out the same hour, right away. He did exactly what Jesus had already done. God had given the apostles the power to cast out demons, to heal diseases and things of that nature in the early days of the church. And here he is setting this woman free, this girl. And no doubt, it doesn't say much more about her after this, but I've always thought that she would be one that would join together with them. She was set free and she recognized what God had done for her and would become a part of this church. And that was just beginning there. So this is a slave girl. I guess the lowest part of society, right? So we have a businesswoman and a slave girl, perhaps meeting together as sisters in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. And it's wonderful that the church is made up of all kinds of people, right? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your state in life might be. Everyone is welcome. Everyone can come and trust in Jesus as their Savior and then work together for the glory of God. So we find here this slave girl is set free from her bondage and allowed to become one of the children of God. At least we trust so. The scripture doesn't go into detail about that, but we can always have a little bit of sanctified imagination, and it makes a good story, doesn't it? Anyway, we find that she's set free. And then, what happens? Well, that didn't please the master so well, huh? These that were profiting from her, from this slave trade and the money that they were able to make from her fortune telling. So they took Paul and Silas and took them into the marketplace to the judge, to the rulers. The judges came out and they proclaimed them guilty. So these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. You see anything here? Prejudice, bias, you know, talk about anti-Semitism already here in the first century. And we, of course, I'm glad to know that now has passed away, right? There's no more of this prejudice, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was a true statement? Huh? If we could see each person for who they are regardless of what their nationality, what their ethnicity, or their whatever background it might be, and we accept people for who they are. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And here we see that they are right away. These men are coming in with a strange message. They're Jews. You can't trust a Jew. All they want is your money. Yeah, is that right? He said that's probably what they were saying. They probably want to take up a collection. At any rate, we know that they were taken without a trial and just thrown into prison. They brought them before the magistrates. They did have some kind of a mock trial. And then they put them, they beat them and threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Okay? So this jailer, when he put these prisoners in there, they said, you know, don't let them get away. He put them into the inner prison and put their feet into stocks, it says, you know. He bound them there so that they would not get away and that he would not get into trouble. Because back in those days, the jailers were responsible for the prisoners. And if you let them escape, then you would be subject to the same punishment that they would receive, right? And many times these jailers were killed because the prisoners escaped. And we'll see what happens here shortly. So he put them into the inner prison and fastened them in there. And what happened? Paul and Silas got so depressed they just sat over in the corner and wept, cried all night long, right? Is that what they did? Notice, it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, we see something here, Paul and Silas rejoicing, singing praises to God that they are here in this prison. Huh? That, would we do that? What do you think? I would probably be the one sitting over in the corner, crying, you know. But here, Paul and Silas were singing and having a revival service, and the prisoners were listening. So they were witnessing to these prisoners as they were there in the prison. And suddenly, someone said, you know, here they are rejoicing, singing praises to God, and the Lord just said, amen. And the earthquake shook the whole place and opened up all of the cells. And the keeper of the prison, the jailer, woke up out of his sleep. All of a sudden, this earthquake came. You ever been in an earthquake? Doris and I were in one. We had the chaplain and his wife with us there. We were sitting around the table eating a little bit of something in the evening. And all of a sudden, the chandelier started going like this, back and forth. And we had to go rushing out of the house. But anyway, it's a fearful thing, right? And here we find this man woke up, no doubt, afraid. And he saw that the prison doors were open. So what did he do? He took out his sword. And he was going to kill himself because he knew that he would be killed anyway. And here we find him about to commit suicide. And Paul cried out with a loud voice and said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Now that was a miracle, wasn't it? All these prisoners, when the doors were opened, what do you think they would do? I think they would take off, wouldn't they? If they could. But somehow, they all stayed there, and Paul told him, don't harm yourself, we're all here. So he gets a light and he comes in and bows down before them, falls on his knees. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What gave him the idea he needed to be saved? What do you think? We have to stop and think, what were Paul and Silas singing about? What were they, saying? What was the message that they were giving forth? I think they were speaking already about what Christ can do for you, And here, he says, what must I do to be saved? How can I be delivered from this? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Now, I don't think it's just because he believes that the household's going to be saved. They have to believe also, right? But anyway, the idea is, this is the way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? And so here, this is what Paul is saying. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. His death, burial, resurrection. And you'll be saved. Simple as that, right? You know, people think sometimes our plan of salvation is too simple. Oh, come on. You've got to do something, right? Well, the Bible doesn't say you do. It says there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, right? All we have to do is put our faith and trust in him. He's the one who saves us. He says, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, your whole household. It'll be changed. And we see here, they continued to explain the word of the Lord, They explained to him exactly what God would expect from them as believers. And so, he said the same hour, he took them, he washed their stripes, took care of them, this hardened prison guard. You can imagine the type of person that would be doing that work. He couldn't be nice. What do you think? So here we have this man who believed on the Lord Jesus, was baptized, and he brings them out and shows kindness to them. He fed them, and then he was baptized along with the rest of his family, his household, all those who believed in God with all his house. Now, one. So we have this third person here, the third member of their church in Philippi, prison guard, the one who kept the prison, a hardened person who put his faith and trust in Christ, and his life was transformed. His family was saved. How wonderful this must have been. And so, the next day, the magistrate said, okay, let those men go on their way now. Send them on out. We won't keep them. We don't want that kind around here anyway. And Paul says, wait just a minute. No. We're not going to let them get away with that. It comes a time sometimes when you have to stand up for yourself, stand up for your rights in order to be a blessing to others. Here Paul is establishing this church, and he doesn't want these authorities to be able to run roughshod over the other believers. And so he says, wait a minute, we are Roman citizens, and Roman citizens have to be treated with respect. And so he says, let them come and lead us out of here. And that's what happened. They had to do that. And they were able to be set free from the prison. They went and visited with the believers in the house of Lydia. And then they departed and went on their way. But we see here how God blessed in this occasion. How everything worked out to reach these people, to transform them from their old self to a new creation in Christ Jesus. So Paul and Silas now are going to continue on with their ministry. And here we see some illustrations, as I said before. No matter who a person is, each one of them has the same need, don't they? Each one of us has the same need. We need to make sure that we have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have asked Him to come into our hearts, to be our Savior. And that's the main thing. No matter who you may be, we're all in the same category, and we all need to come to the Lord. I trust we have. And pray that each one of us might have full assurance of our salvation. Father, we thank You for Your word to our hearts this morning. And we pray that Your Holy Spirit will guide and direct us in all that we do as we have the communion together. May we rejoice in all that You have done for us. May we love You and serve You in the way that we should. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. We thank You for the salvation that You have given us in Him. And pray now that we might bring honor and glory to Your holy name. And to our Lord Jesus, we pray in His name. Amen.